Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Tonight we have, this morning we have with us Brian D. Barton. Brian D. Barton is has played for the major, the minors, and the independent league baseball teams. How are you doing today, Brian D. Barton?
I'm doing really good. I'm a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome, Mr. Barton. You are my first athlete, so your show will be a memorable one.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be the first, and it's always good to debut, just like my book.
Okay, just like your book. We'll get to your book. We're not going to... because that's what the show is about, your book and everything. And your book, I believe, is called is Mindset, Awareness and Action.
Yes.
Awareness and Action. Okay, we're going to get to your book. Listeners, he does have a book coming out, Brian D. Barton, Mindset, Awareness and Action. But first, let's go into the questions. You are a baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals. Am I correct?
Yes, I was a baseball player in the major leagues for the St. Louis Cardinals in 2008. I was an outfielder. I came up through their organization through a process called the Rule 5 process, and I spent the year with them. And that was a pretty good year for me. I was able to debut. I was able, you know, to kind of experience the fulfillment of all the hard work that I've done, you know, throughout my baseball career from a child on up, and, you know, to finally be able to make it to the big leagues in 2008 was definitely a big accomplishment of mine.
Oh, yes. I can imagine. The big leagues. That is the big leagues.
Absolutely.
What was your batting record or average?
I think that year I batted around 268. And in the position that I was in, I wasn't an everyday player. I think, you know, I fared fairly well in my first year. It was an adjustment that I had to make because, you know, obviously you're on a bigger stage. You know, you're on TV every day. You have 40,000 people watching you, and just the pressure of knowing that back home, you know, your family's watching you, and having to probably, you know, go through the process of getting those jabs thrown at you. You know, if you strike out, you know, kind of one of those things that you really, you know, really have to kind of just take heed to and try to focus more on.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, you have to focus. Okay, well, I'm not very athletic. The most I do is walk real fast.
Uh-huh.
And play. I do a little bowling. But that's maybe every now and then some batting.
Exactly. Well, you know, I try to deal with and dabble in bowling too, but I'm not the greatest bowler. I think the highest score I've ever gotten was like a 187, and that was last year. So for me, that was a pretty big accomplishment too.
Okay. You have been in the minor, major, independent baseball league. What teams were they that you played for? What were the name of the teams?
Well, I played for a lot of teams, actually. I came up initially through the Cleveland Indians organization, and I played with Lake County Captains, the Akron Arrows, the Buffalo Bisons. And then when I debuted in the major leagues with St. Louis, I played with St. Louis and then also played minor leagues with the Memphis Redbirds in the St. Louis organization. I played in the major leagues with Atlanta, and I played in their minor league affiliation too, the Gwinnett Braves. And currently I'm playing with the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs of the Independent League.
Oh, okay. So you played with the Atlanta Braves, the St. Louis Cardinals. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's great. You are a philanthropist. What are your favorite organizations that you donate to? And what is the name of your organization for inner city youth?
Well, there's a few organizations that I'm closely affiliated with. Two pertain to an organization that actually assisted me in going to college, which one was through the Magic Johnson Foundation, the Taylor Michaels Scholars Program, and the other one was the Gates Millennium Program, which I'm also very closely associated with, too. And those organizations are or organization that's very dear to me because it allowed me to be able to experience the pleasures of going to college as well as assisting me financially in getting my education. Now, personally, my foundation itself is called XY to the Power of Infinity, which focuses around introducing inner city youth to areas of travel, business ownership, and public speaking, which I am closely associated with, and it's a passion of mine, but I also think that there's a need for inner city kids to really, you know, hone those skills in those areas, you know, to draw about perspective and a different worldly view. And I think and I hope that it will be impactful, you know, not only in the East St. Louis area where I founded it, but also to become more of a global movement.
Oh, okay. So there's a need for that where I'm at in the rural area. I'm in the rural area. I'm in the south,
mm-hmm.
Near Alabama.
Okay.
And a small rural town. There's a need for that here for kids to be exposed to travel and public speaking and things like that, because the church tries to do it, but
mm-hmm.
it's just a need for that here where I'm from.
Absolutely. You know, can I say something? I really feel that, you know, one thing that a lot of people lose fact is that, I mean, there's people hurting, and not necessarily financially, but I feel like they're hurting spiritually, they're hurting emotionally, and I think that it's important that we start, our leaders and people of the community start paying attention to these needs that our children are experiencing, because I feel like they are, and I do know that they are our future, and we hear that every day, but it's a matter of, are we really taking it seriously? Because we live in a world where we have technology, TV, and everybody else telling our children, you know, what they should be doing, but we don't have the outreach, and we don't have the actual people themselves actually showing our kids, you know, the actual essentials of what it takes to be, you know, upstanding citizens and leaders, and just really just to go about life in a way where it could allow for them to be successful. And I feel that to have programs that really cater to those needs, and I feel like it's very crucial, especially in these moments now, because there's going to be a shift soon, and it's just a matter of what position you're in when this shift occurs.
Yes, I understand that, and I'm aware that the youth are hurting. I've always believed in prayer.
Absolutely.
There's no but to that, but
exactly.
I believe in prayer, but
mm-hmm.
The youth don't seem to connect as well spiritually. But I take that back. I went to an event Sunday where there were some young teenagers, 18 and under, who there was a commission
mm-hmm.
where they were honored and recognized for their achievements, and I thought that was so beautiful, and their work in the community, and that was with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the AME Church,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was a beautiful ceremony, and I loved hearing their goals and dreams,
mm-hmm.
and the preacher talked about things such as staying true to yourself and your goals and not letting people block your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to be doctors, lawyers, architects, and different things. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I don't think we hear enough about youth who are doing well.
Exactly.
Not saying that the youth are not hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if the youth had more role models of their own age group that they could see on
mm-hmm.
television, on
mm-hmm.
radio, even on my own show,
mm-hmm.
that they would be more likely to follow by example.
Exactly.
You know, this person
exactly.
can achieve this, I can achieve this. You know what I'm saying? That's that set mentality.
Exactly. Exactly. And I truly feel that, what lacks in the younger community is that I feel that we take their voices away. And when you take their voices away, you take their power away, you take their hopes and dreams away, because they feel like there's no one's listening, that there's no one who cares for them. And I think that it's important and our responsibility that we let our children know that they do have a voice and that they are being listened to and that we do care, because showing that we care and showing that they matter, it's a form of encouragement that will motivate them to even want to do better. Because I personally know from the experiences I've had in my personal life and from seeing children in environments of despair, that really they just need someone to have confidence in them, and they need to know that somebody cares, because without that sense of sincerity, you know, it's really hard to kind of pick yourself up and motivate yourself to want to do good, because you feel like, what am I doing it for? And I think that it's our responsibility to show that they are being listened to, that their needs are being taken seriously, and that, you know, us as adults, you know, are trying to do everything to make sure that our children, you know, become successful young men and women.
Yes. Yes, that is true. That is true. Because when I was growing up, there was the Cosby Show. That was mm-hmm. the first Black Miss America, Miss Vanessa Williams, and
absolutely.
There was on TV, television, there was can't think of the name, which was a spinoff from the Cosby Show, I believe. Jasmine mm-hmm. Guy was in it, and Kadeem Hardy.
Different World, I think.
Different World. I used to love that show. And it
yes, I did
to
too.
A whole different life. It's not that my family wasn't capable of giving me that life. It was that life. Well, I take that back. Financially, my family was not in a position to give me that life, but it showed me that you could go to college, that you could achieve. There were Black lawyers. There were Black doctors. And some of my classmates went on to work to be homecoming queens and working for Target is up in the big buildings and, you know, the big office buildings and things. They went on to succeed, to do great things with their lives. And, you know, and I think that I don't know what's missing from, I can't put my finger on what's missing with the youth of today, but mm-hmm. back then there was no computers. There were some computers, but there were no cell phones. So I don't know if technology is to blame or what's to blame, but I know the youth really need the adults' help.
Exactly. I actually wrote a blog, I said about a year ago, talking about the technological divide, and it pretty much centers around the fact that though we have these advances in technology, and though technology, you know, taking us from a place where, you know, from the automobiles all the way to now where we have Facebook, you know, we have those advances and we experience all the greatness that technology presents. But one of the things that's being lost is that we're becoming too codependent on technology to the point where, you know, we're not using our own brains to really think and our own hands to really do things anymore, to the point where now we're becoming, our brain muscles are starting to atrophy, and we're starting to lose touch with our own personal abilities. And I think that's kind of one of the things that is becoming a problem, and that I like to touch on, because, you know, not even just kids, but just people in general, you know, we're starting to lose touch with ourselves because technology is starting to take away a lot of that interpersonal relationships that we have between other people and that we have within the world. Television is taking us away from being outside, and Facebook is taking us away from actually interacting on a more personal, physical level with other people, to the sense that we're starting to lose out on how to be social beings. And I think that if we really don't kind of recapture the way that we let things control the way we think, you know, it will start having a detrimental effect to us.
Yes, yes, it will. And I spend hours on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
and
it's hard not to.
and it's hard not to. But I understand what you're saying. That mimics, what you said mimics what my mother said about certain things that she had observed. My mother is sick in near her 60s, and she said that the computer thinks for the youth of today.
Mm-hmm.
But what bothers me are those who don't have access to the computers and things. I mean, I know they can go to the public library, but the ones who I feel are being held back, because I know there are youth that are achieving, because I've seen it with my own eyes.
Exactly.
But they're never put out there. The youth only see themselves going to jail, going to prison, juvenile detention. There are no positive influences. And my show is about putting positive influences out there, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think one of the issues with that is also is that the priorities are misaligned, and I think that it's more glorified to be in jail, or you know, to have multiple women, or you know, to see yourself as a thug, than it is to see yourself as a doctor or to see yourself as someone who has impact in somebody's life. And I think that's where a shift needs to be made, because it really irks me when I feel like people glorify their cities by how many murders they have or how many buildings have been robbed or people have been beaten, opposed to glorifying their cities about how many businesses have actually been established, or, you know, how many community events that, you know, they implement on a year-to-year basis and things like that. And I feel like if we can find a way to shift that mentality right there, you know, it can be a starting point to actually getting our youth, you know, motivated to want to do better, because I don't think the true essence of success is really being glorified in the correct manner, because, you know, what I've gathered and from growing up, I gathered to be successful is to be hard, you know, and people glorify that. And I feel like it's not necessarily an accurate portrayal of what success really is.
Okay. That is true. That is true. That is true. So we're going to go on to some other questions. You are an aerospace engineer, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you been able to work in the aerospace career field, or are you just playing baseball and writing your books?
Well, I have one semester left before I obtain my degree in aerospace engineering at the University of Miami. It's a running joke because my younger brother is 7 years younger than me, and he just graduated and got his degree before me, so I'm the last man standing. Because of baseball is why I haven't finished my degree, but I do plan on finishing within the next couple of years, because I know it's something important not only to myself but to my family, and you know, to have that piece of paper. But more than anything, I just think, you know, the knowledge that I gained from those experiences and those years in college is what I really, really cherish. I did do several internships working with Boeing in their satellite division in Los Angeles, California, where I'm from. And those were some experiences that were really close to me, because it was very synchronized with my passion and of wanting to be an astronaut when I was growing up, and being in that field, it actually was something that really intrigued me.
Okay, what does an aerospace engineer do? Explain to somebody who doesn't have a clue.
Well, you know, I think
I know it has something to do with space.
Actually, what a lot of people don't realize is that the field of aerospace is a broad field. And it encompasses a lot of things pertaining to space travel, you know, air shuttles, working for NASA, Boeing, you know, all the way to missile defense, you know, in dealing with our military and our defense systems, all the way down to just the basis of car designs, because it takes a lot of aerodynamic equations and problems that goes into, you know, building an efficient car. And it also entails, you know, airplane design from the outer infrastructure all the way to the inner infrastructure of making sure the inside of a plane is efficient space-wise, but that can also maximize, you know, a maximum amount of passengers. So it's a wide range, and, you know, I've seen all the ins and outs and all the different fields of aerospace that can be explored. And I don't think it's not just limited to saying, hey, you know, aerospace implies building a space shuttle, but I mean, it can go all the way down to building the rivets that keeps the airplane wing together. So it's a pretty interesting field, and it's something that, like, I truly enjoy, and in the near future, you know, I hope to get back into.
Okay, that is wonderful. Very impressive. Very impressive. Very impressive. You are a very impressive young man.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We have with us on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Brian T. Barton. We're going to give him... We're going to pay some bills and give him a couple of minutes to collect his thoughts.
Thank you.
Then again, maybe not. All right. We're going to talk about Doe Biden Cowens. This show is sponsored by Doe Biden Cowens Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Doe Biden Cowens Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial financing needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092. Allow them to handle your commercial financing. The website is http://dobine.webs.com and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Also, Dobine and Cowens Mortgage Investments are hiring in the credit repair department. No phone calls about this. Just go to the website. Again, it is http://dobine.webs.com. All right. I'm sorry about that. Listeners, I couldn't get the show to play. But we're going to go on with the questions. I couldn't get the promo to play. Sorry about that. You won an award in July for Player of the Month. Am I correct? Atlantic League. For Player of the Month, how did it feel to win this award?
I mean, it was a good award. As always, it's always good to be recognized for something that you do, whether it's on the field or off the field. But baseball is a humbling sport, and the funny thing about baseball is just as quickly as I found out that I won the July Player of the Month award, I went in a really bad slump, and it was sort of kind of like me being on my high horse, but then, you know, me falling off the horse at the same time. So it's kind of one of those sports where, you know, you got to remain even keeled a little bit and really kind of just play the game out and take the bumps with the bruises, because, you know, baseball is tricky. You know, you just never know when that moment is going to come, but it felt really good to be honored, and hopefully I can just continue the consistency.
What is your current batting average?
I don't want to be considered a stat rat, as that they call it, but
stat rat. I take the blame for it, not you, because I'm asking the questions.
Well, I think I am over 300. I'm not sure exactly the actual number yet, but I'm doing pretty well this year. I'm batting over 300, and hopefully I can continue to keep that consistency going and help our team get into the playoffs.
All right. Okay, that is wonderful. And, of course, I have to ask this. What other awards have you won concerning your baseball career? What other recognition have you received? You don't have to name them all, but just some of them.
Well, I've had a couple of Player of the Weeks growing up through the minor leagues. I won an award for the organization when I was with Cleveland pertaining to having the highest on-base percentage, where they awarded me with a free flight to travel anywhere that Continental flies. So I thought that was a pretty cool award that I won. But I think my biggest award and accomplishment is making it to the big leagues, because that's what I fought my whole career doing, and that's an honor within itself because, you know, you may not get a trophy for it or whatever, but it's a culmination of all the hard work that I put in. You know, I think it was one of the greatest gifts I could be given my parents, and, you know, for all the hard work that myself and my brothers put into, you know, actually pushing each other to try to get to that high level, to actually finally get there and knowing the odds that it takes to get there. I mean, that right there was one of my biggest awards, was the biggest award in baseball for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. You have wrote a book entitled Mindset, Awareness in Action. What is your book about? The title pretty well speaks for itself, but let's talk a little bit about the book.
Well, Mindset is a thought-provoking book that aims to get people thinking about the influences to the development of their minds, of their mentality. And it was a book that I started, you know, from observing and experiencing situations to where I feel like, you know, we've been letting society dictate too much how our lives are run. And I wanted to write a commentary on the importance of actually, you know, regaining the control of our own lives and really controlling the way we think and stop letting society itself to tell us how to think. So I wrote this book in efforts to hopefully inspire people to really start regaining control of their own thought process, but more so just control of their lives, because as we spoke in earlier about the youth and things like that and the state of where our youth is going, you know, I feel like it's really important that, you know, we start to pay attention to these influences and these factors that play a big part into the way our mindset is shaped.
Okay. All right. Very positive. Would you like to read a favorite excerpt from your book? Would you like
to read? Absolutely. This excerpt right here, it comes from chapter 10 of my book, the last chapter, and the chapter is entitled The Power of Imagination. And I wrote this chapter to bring light on the fact that, you know, in order to build a healthy mindset, it's important not to lose touch with our imagination, because, you know, sometimes, you know, being a kid again and being able to kind of think outside of the box, you know, is something that we lose touch with, and I think it's really important that we learn to recapture that. So
okay.
I'm going to start probably midway in the chapter, but here we go. Imagination is essential in the development of the mindset because it allows people to expand their aspirations and ideas. It dissolves the limitations of our minds. When people have freedom of their thought processes, a whole new world opens up. Imagination gives way to hope because it allows for people to see the possibility that life has to offer. It strengthens our courage because it gives us reasons to fight for something that other people cannot see or do not believe in. Lastly, imagination sparks vision. As I mentioned in chapter 2, without vision, the people shall perish. If people cannot envision where they are going, then they will never get to where they need or want to be. So we must learn to embrace our imagination and recognize the power it possesses. If not, we risk diminishing our hope, losing our courage, and limiting our vision. Many people grow up not having the encouragement to expand their imagination. Their circumstances force them to grow up too quickly, causing them to deal with the realities of the present world while neglecting their ability to dream. Therefore, many people go about life not seeing the promise and potential that their lives hold. Many people do not live prosperous lives because they cannot imagine a prosperous life. Throughout my life, I have made a conscious effort to picture success in my life. I imagine myself being a successful baseball player. I imagine myself doing well in school. I imagine being able to travel to different countries of the world. So when the time came that these opportunities were presented to me, I knew how to take advantage of those situations because I had already pictured myself in those positions. My mother always told me that if I really wanted something badly enough, I would have to speak it into existence. But to take that one step further, I believe we have to mentally envision it into existence.
Okay.
And that's an excerpt from Chapter 10, The Power of Imagination. You know, kind of, and once again, just to touch bases on the importance of not losing touch, you know, with our imagination. And more so importantly, not to encourage imagination in our children and not to force them to grow up too quickly, because it's that expansion of the mind that actually is healthy, you know, for long-term success in terms of, you know, getting them out of comfort zones and allowing them to want to explore more and to want to be more. And I think that if we encourage that healthy form of thinking, I feel like we can really, really start a movement in our youth.
All right. Speak it into existence. Yes, mm-hmm. I believe in that. I believe that. When will your book debut, and where can my listeners go to buy a copy?
Well, my book will debut August 19th. I'm having a book signing at the baseball field in Waldorf, Maryland, at Regency Furniture Field. So if anybody's in the DMV area, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, you can. I would love for you to join and come at 3:45 for the book signing at Regency Furniture Stadium. Or if you would like to purchase the book online, you can purchase it at www.BrianBarton, Once again, BrianBartonAccess.com. And, you know, I hope this book inspires, but more importantly, I hope this book gets people to thinking again about the influences that impact their own development stages of their mentality.
Okay. Sounds like it's a very good book, and I think it's well written.
Thank you. Thank you.
What advice do you have for the youth who are athletes?
The advice that I have for youth that are athletes is first that this was something that my first major league coach, Tony La Russa, told me, and I was going through a stage where I was a little frustrated. Where I was trying to get feedback of what can I do to play more. And I think I was just going through a stage. I was going through a stage where I was a rookie, and probably I was more so having to pay my dues than it was personal. But one thing he told me was never let anybody take your fight or your drive away from you. He said, don't let him, don't let your family, don't let your girlfriend or whoever take that drive from you. And I think that regardless of what you're going through, especially as an athlete, we go through a lot of bumps and bruises physically, but then we go emotionally through a lot, that regardless of whatever we go through, all the adversities that we have to strive through, never lose that drive, never lose that fire, always keep that flame lit. And I think as long as you have that desire and passion to play, you can overcome anything that's set in front of you because you have the will. Because once you lose that will, I pretty much feel like you lose everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your advice to the youth who are athletes. We're going to try to go to break again. I'm going to try to play that promo again. And then we are going to And then we're going to come back with a couple of more questions, and then we're going to end the show. All right, I'm having technical difficulties. I apologize. I'm still trying to get that promo to work. Just give me a second, please.
And refuse is defined by statute as a child under the age of 18 who meets at least one of the following three requirements: is absent from home for at least 70 consecutive hours without parental consent, or is beyond parental control such that his/her behavior endangers the health, safety, or welfare of the child or any other person, has a substance abuse problem for which there are no pending criminal charges relating to the substance abuse. At Camp Penny, we have found that at-risk youth struggles with complex issues and scenarios that are brought on by peers, mentors, family members, and difficult social environments. Camp Penny understands the increased complexity of today's at-risk youth as on parents. Camp Penny works with nonprofits and federal agencies to find solutions. Today's youth are exposed to a variety of negatives, making them more at risk to injury, academic failure, and poor health. Teens who are likely to be more at risk are usually those that do not have a strong support system at home and in the community, as well as teens who are not coping well with the different challenges that they are facing. So what sorts of programs will Camp Penny have? Camp Penny will provide outdoor activities as a main feature of the camp. There is no sitting around getting bored at Camp Penny. The girls will eat a well-balanced and healthy diet, then get outside for some well-planned and highly beneficial programs. Just the Camp Penny location is a real boost for our children. The beauty of nature may not have previously registered with many city-bound kids. Out in the wilderness, the teens get to commune with nature, observe the wildlife, and tackle challenging physical tasks. That will build their self-confidence and their muscles. If you would like to help or become a volunteer of the Camp Penny project, please contact us at client@camppenny.org. Let's save our daughters.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, papers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylist and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have with us this morning Brian D. Barton. Brian D. Barton is on Show Talk with Angela Butler. My final question would have to be for Brian Barton, what are your thoughts on bullying?
My thoughts on bullying is I think it's definitely something that's been a problem throughout society, and you know, we've all in some way, shape, or form experienced some form of bullying, whether it's on the receiving end or the giving end. And I think it's something that definitely, you know, needs to be paid attention to, because you know, there are people hurting out there, and there's people who are scared, you know, to actually talk about what's going on and are experiencing a lot of trauma because of it. And even through virtual bullying. I mean that's just as painful. You know, people are dying, kids are killing themselves, and I think it's a problem that we really need to address, because this is, we don't want this to become an epidemic, and we don't want this to become something that becomes mainstream in society. And I think that we need to start listening to our children, and we need to start interceding in their lives, you know, when we hear of these issues.
Okay, that is correct. That is very true. I thank you for coming, Brian Barton, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Mr. Barton, I look forward to having you back one day when time permits and you're available. And I thank you. I wish you all the best with your baseball career, your book, your organization, XY to Power of Affinity, and your baseball career, and your book, Mindset, Awareness, and Action.
Thank you.
I wish you the best.
Thank you, and I wish the best to your show, and I really, really am honored and appreciate you having me on here, you know, just to talk about, you know, my book, which is one of my passions, and just the thing that, one thing that's very dear to me, because I feel like my mom would always say, if you have a message, don't keep it in, and I feel like, you know, all the outlets, including your show, that allows me to get my message out, like, I'm very, very appreciative for.
And you're more than welcome. Mindset, Awareness, and Action is the name of the book, and I thank you. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, and you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We had with us this morning Brian D. Barton. Brian D. Barton has played with the St. Louis Cardinals, the Atlanta Braves. He's played in both the minor, major, and independent league. And he has a book out called Mindset, Awareness, and Action. So he told you where you could go to buy the book. And thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I like to say that he was my first pro athlete, and I was happy to have him on the show, and I'm happy to have the listeners that tune in to listen to me. I thank you all, and please come back. The show will air again, for those of you who didn't hear it, at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, August 16, 2012, and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right, thank you. Thank you all. Have a good morning.